Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Today is Veterans Connect Radio. I'm Ryan Redhawk, and as always, Brandon Skolnick on co-host seat. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Ryan? Yeah, here we are. Just on the backside of a busy week for both of us week.
Yeah.
Lots going on out
there. We got a few things wrapped up.
That's right.
We went to Vetlanta.
Yeah, it was a good summit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Saw some old friends, made some new friends. It's always great to reconnect. And I don't think there's going to be another one before the end of the year.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
Another Q1 summit, I guess, will be next.
Yeah. The Q1 summit will be next. We're looking at probably the second week or so of February.
So yeah, these last two are right next to each other. See,
yeah.
Q3 and Q4. So we just saw some old friends and new faces, like I said, out there. We'll talk a little more about that as the show progresses. We've got a couple of great in-studio guests. Before we get started, let's remind our listeners to connect with us on social media. You can follow the network, Business Radio X, on Twitter, at Business Radio X, and the show, at Vet Connect Radio on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out some quotes and pictures of today's guests, as well as links to past shows and everything you can find there. And you can always follow Brandon on Twitter. He's a tweeter maniac out
oh
there.
Yeah so yeah
yeah, yeah.
That's
Vets
real.
In startups, that's his Twitter handle.
Vets in startups. I think it's a hashtag. Vet, there's an at
symbol vets in startups.
Okay,
that's right. And you can follow me at Ryan Redhawk across all social media platforms. All right, without further ado, let's introduce today's guest. A little bit later in the program, we're going to talk to two gentlemen from Power Home Remodeling Group, Clay and Damon. But first up, right out of the gate here, we're going to speak with Matthew Grobe. He's Regional Veterans Employment Coordinator from the Office of Strategic Outreach of the U.S. Department of Labor. How are you doing, Matthew?
Doing well, thanks.
All right, thank you for joining us here today. How was your weekend?
My weekend was actually pretty good. It was a little bit abbreviated because I'm actually also a student veteran as well.
Oh, wow.
So I am doing a weekend program. So I got to have a little bit of downtime yesterday and enjoyed it.
Now, so you've got one of the longest titles that I've heard, but then also you're a student as well.
I am.
And you're married, correct?
I am.
And does she take all this? She's saying, where's my time?
You know, it is a little bit busy. It's demanding.
Yeah.
But we've kind of been through this before. So
okay.
I have a previous master's degree, and we kind of experienced this before. I was studying a lot, working a lot, traveling a lot, and we just kind of balanced it out.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So the bottom line is I don't sleep for about another 19 months.
Okay.
And everything will work out just fine.
But then another challenge may arise. It sounds like you're a lifelong learner.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. So I do that almost as a hobby. But this kind of made sense because I still had remaining benefits with my GI Bill. So I wanted to put them to good use. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage of those remaining benefits. I had about 19 months remaining in my post 9/11 GI Bill.
Because they go away if you don't use it, right?
They do expire. There is an expiration. It's about 15 years after your separation. If you don't use them, you lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And those federal tax dollars will go somewhere else.
And you can't give them all to your offspring, or your wife can't use that under your name?
There are certain conditions. When I was retiring out, you could transfer them to your dependents, but there were stipulations, and it incurred like an additional service obligation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I found out about that, it was kind of too late because I was in the midst of retiring and realized, well, I don't want to stave off my retirement another year just to be able to transfer the benefits.
Yeah.
I forget who I was talking to, but what happens is as time goes on and we get further and further away from war, they start rolling back those benefits, even for people that were able to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation is that in the next few years, being able to transfer them to your dependents will start to roll back. So it's good to use them while you got them.
Yeah, definitely use them or lose them.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think I just have a few more years left on my GI.
Better get
benefits.
On it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Got to figure out, maybe I'll go back to school for broadcasting or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yep.
So Matthew, let's talk a little more about your background, your service, time in service. When did you join and what branch?
Sure. So I enlisted in the Army right out of high school, and that was in 1989.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. So to give you a little bit of context, some of my life's ambitions include being the last surviving Desert Storm veteran.
Nice.
So, yes, I am a Desert Storm veteran. I came in 89, and I was in signal intelligence. Mm-hmm. I was in direction finding and radio fingerprinting and helped kind of track down.
I knew it would be something smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you weren't a cook. I could tell.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't a spoon.
Yeah.
No. And to kind of take a nice little jab at the Marines, I actually did want to join the Marines. And the Marine recruiters and the Army recruiters were very competitive in the high school. And I went down and I took the ASVAB, and the Marine recruiter came out and said, I'm sorry, son, but you don't qualify for the Marines. You see, your scores are too high.
Ah.
So you're going to have to go off to the Army. Yes. So I went off to the Army.
Okay. Nice. And you enjoyed your time, didn't you?
I did. So I spent about 7.5 years. Almost all of it was over in Europe. I was stationed in Germany, Italy, and Germany. And then I separated. I got out, and I went into the National Guard for the interim. And I had taken some classes while I was on active duty. Mm-hmm. And I went into the ROTC program at Marquette University in Milwaukee and finished up my degree, earned my commission, and then came back in the military on active duty as an officer.
Nice. Yeah. So you enjoyed your time so much, went to school, came back. I got to do this again.
Yeah.
But I want to do it from the power seat.
Absolutely. And I wasn't sure if I was going to come back to active duty. So while I was a student veteran then, doing the National Guard part-time, I was also a part-time Postal Service employee. And that also kind of helped me realize that I think that it will be actually less stressful to go back to active duty than to continue on the Postal Service.
Yeah. Right.
So. And along the way, you continued your education, continued to serve, and then at some point you found your position out. There was no more service left to give, I guess. And you had to kind of chart another path for yourself.
There was. So there's just a certain time, and every veteran experiences this. You know when it's time to go. That might be after 3 years, 4 years, 20 years, 30 years, or until they force you out the door and say, no, you've really been here long enough. It's time for you to go. Mm-hmm. Everybody reaches that certain point where it's time to go, and it's time to start preparing. And I'll be quite honest and candid that when I was preparing to retire, there was a lot of things going on, and my transition was not exactly the easiest transition that I experienced out there. So to give you a little bit of context, where I was, retiring, and I was stationed over in Germany at the time, and I was in Heidelberg, Germany, and I was working at the headquarters of U.S. Army Europe. And as I was going through the retirement process, we also had this thing kind of going on called sequestration. We knew it was looming, and it was coming at us full speed. And I actually had gotten a job offer to be a civilian in my same organization, but because sequestration took effect and the Army implemented a hiring freeze, I was basically frozen out of the job and could not proceed. Oh, wow. So we were stuck in Germany for a little bit, hoping that that would pass. But at the same time, and this is kind of where it started to get really, really challenging, is we knew that most likely we would have to return back to the States, because when you separate out overseas, you have about a certain amount of time, about 90 days under the Status of Forces Agreement, that you're either going to have to declare to the German government you plan to be a resident, or you're going to do something else. So I was retired out of the Army and without a job, and we were starting to burn through our savings. And at the same time, this was really, really hard for my wife and I, is that our dog was falling sick at the same time. She could not travel. So I was over there without a job, bleeding through savings, and essentially... With a sick dog that couldn't travel. And we ultimately had to get to that point where she passed away, and we realized nothing else is happening. So we folded our tent and said, all right, we're going to go back to the States. And we got back here to Atlanta, and we decided, hey, let's try it out.
Why Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta was kind of one of our contingencies. When we realized that being overseas probably wasn't going to happen, we had been there for about 10 years. We were a little bit familiar with Atlanta. We had spent a little bit of time down at Fort Benning. Mm-hmm. We were familiar with it. We had some friends in the area. And when we were looking at the potential opportunities for employment and taking a look at the companies that were located here, as well as the cost of living, it seemed to make sense that I could probably eke by on my retirement and savings while looking for employment. And so it kind of made sense to come to Atlanta and have a little bit of support with friends as well.
And what year was that?
And that was in that was the spring of 2013.
So yeah. Just recently.
Oh, so yeah. About 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I met him at Vet Buds. He showed up one day.
One breakfast. That's an early morning. Yeah. If those listeners don't know about Vet Buds, Brandon's very entrenched with that organization.
Well,
they meet for eggs and bacon at like 6:30.
Yeah, exactly. In John's Creek.
Yeah. Yep. But do like them. Bill Williams, part of that group. He's been on the program.
Yes.
We support what they're doing for some of the veterans. So you moved to Atlanta in 2013, but still with no job lined up yet. So you kind of had to put yourself out there a little and start finding some. You knew where you wanted to live, but not what you wanted to do.
Exactly. So the challenge that I had is that I didn't realize how unprepared I was for transition until I was here. You know, I was overseas and I had a job lined up, and then that fell through. And then just because of everything that was going on about preparing to move and everything going on with my dog passing away, I was just really not in a good emotional state to really focus on on being able to find a job in Atlanta from Germany. So we decided, let's just get there and kind of go from there. And it was a little bit of a difficult time. So what I realized is what I thought was going to be an easier process was not. And what I thought that I did in the military would transition pretty well. And it in a way it did, but I had no idea on how to communicate that.
Interesting.
So what I found out is that I really was horrible at networking. And I really was, self-admittedly. So the other thing that was going on around that time frame is that this was around the time frame when the Vow to Hire Heroes Act was enacted, and it was really starting to take full force. So in 2011, Congress had passed that and basically mandated improved training for all transitioning service members. It doesn't matter if you're getting out as a private or a general officer. It's mandated for everybody. To include demobilizing reservists who were experiencing of the same problems as well.
Yeah, what a debacle. Dear God.
It was. It was. I can go into that a little bit.
Yeah. You said that was 2011 they enacted that?
Yeah, 2011 was passed, and it started to actually be implemented in 2012. So around the same time that this was happening, sequestration was starting to take effect. And it did not reach overseas very, very quickly. So by the time I had actually retired, I didn't really get to experience any changes in the curriculum or any of the other programs. Mm-hmm. I think that by the time I was ready to get out, somebody from the transition office called and said, hey, we have this requirement. We just got to make sure that you have a resume. So I had one, and they said, okay, yeah, looks like a resume, and signed off and said, proceed. And so there wasn't really a lot of great programs in place. And so what this legislation did is it mandated basically a 5-day curriculum where the Department of Labor had taken ownership. They were placed saying you will provide about a 3-day workshop with that in conjunction with the Veterans Affairs for information about their benefits and how to prepare for getting back in, whether you have a disability or if you're seeking that process, or how to get back into school if you plan to leave the service and go back into school, as well as the Small Business Administration for veterans that were very interested in entrepreneurship and what kind of programs that they have for them. So it started to become a much better and deliberate transition process, but I had just missed out. And so when I got here, I realized I networking was really what I needed. I discovered by experience that Atlanta is a very network-driven town.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it really is.
No matter what industry you're in, or what your absolutely. Background, or what kind of niche market you want to, the ecosystem you want to be
in. As a matter of fact, you know, it's like you can travel different networking groups for industries, and you'll see a lot of the similar people, because maybe something that they do touches two to three different industries, and you'll see them all there. Yeah. So I think networking is, absolutely, it's a big deal. So you found this out.
So I found that out, and what I did is I took a risk. I was fairly introverted. People that know me now probably would never have guessed that.
He's the best best dressed introvert I've ever met.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's for smartest sure. introvert, right?
And so I started to just reach out to people and said, hey, this is my situation. I'm back here in the Atlanta area. I'm new to the area, and I'm transitioning to the civilian sector. I just retired out of the military, and I just want to reach out and talk to you and kind of bounce some ideas off of you. And so it turned out to be what I discovered was I was doing informational interviews. I had targeted for this particular case the consulting industry. So I said, I want to talk to consultants and see what their advice and experience is. And what I started to realize is that I really did not understand the corporate language. We really had a language barrier. And one conversation that I had with a gentleman actually kind of changed the course of my life, so to speak. He was very candid and said, hey, that sounds really neat. I explained to him in militarese what I did. And I was able to talk very conversantly about total army analysis and the quadrennial defense review and army force structure and army transformation. All that stuff
that's
sounded
real, son.
Really cool. When I talk to my army buddies, they're impressed and they're like, wow, that's kind of cool. But in the civilian world, nobody knows what the heck that is.
I don't even know if those are real words.
But I had no idea how to correlate that to anything in the civilian world.
Civilianese, I think, civilianese. Is a word that somebody
military ease and civilianese. Right. Yeah, there you go.
That's right. And so he took a little bit of time and said, let's talk about some of these things. I can tell that you're struggling trying to relate that. So let's talk a little bit about Business 101. And so we got to learn a little bit more about what kind of terms things business people would relate to. And one aha moment was, and he really kind of started to understand what it is that I do when I was describing it in kind of kindergarten language. He says, well, it sounds like you're a program manager. And I said, well, what does a program manager mean in the civilian world? He's like, well, you're basically, you know, in charge of a few projects and a portfolio, and you have deliberate processes to manage budgets and schedules. And I said, yeah, that's kind of what I do. He goes, well, then start calling yourself a program manager, damn it.
Right. Yeah, well, so yeah, of course.
Just something as simple as relating my job title is kind of a foreign concept. So that had been my experience, and I started to network more, started to get out there and introduce people, and it was kind of frustrating because things just don't happen very quickly. And it was actually when I started to take a break, I said, you know what, I'm done with this. I want to take a break. This isn't really bearing fruit. I just want to find some organizations for veterans and just kind of hang out with them. As fate would have it, I went to a Vet Buds breakfast to get away from the networking and just hang out with fellow veterans. And that's where I ended up actually connecting with fellow veterans and landing my first full-time.
Bam.
Brandon, they
that's
say
it.
When you're looking for love, you'll never find it.
That's right.
You gotta stop looking.
Yep. And hang out with veterans.
And let love find you.
Yeah,
that's
of course. So what'd you retire as? Give me a...
So, because of my prior service, I retired as a major.
Major, all right. So that's awesome. So you had Major Grove. He's prior enlisted, you know, retired as an officer. And what did he have to teach us today? He taught us what? Networking is key.
Absolutely.
Even if you're not aggressively networking, even passive network, like going and hang out with a bunch of veterans.
That's
right.
Yeah, you got to put yourself out there.
That was another one, too. And you got to translate that Army lingo or military lingo into corporate lingo.
You do.
Right. So what do we call that? Militanese to
civilianese. And you sometimes may need help with that.
Absolutely.
You can't do that yourself, even though you may know, you know, what you did as far as managing, you know, services or in the service. You can't always do that on yours. So get help for that.
Absolutely.
For sure. So
that's pretty powerful.
That is. That's right. So, but you're now you're with the Department of Labor and you're helping veterans on a larger scale here in the Atlanta area. And so tell us about your role there and then how can veterans get involved with some of your programs and services?
Sure. So I'll kind of really abbreviate how I got from that first time job to here. So that first time job was as a recruiter. And what I actually started to learn from the recruiting side was how the talent acquisition system works. And I really started to see from the inside, wow, no wonder nobody was hiring me. You know, I really got to see the things that I needed to do on my resume. And then the opportunity presented itself to work at a nonprofit here called Hire Heroes USA. Mm-hmm. And I took that opportunity and ran with it.
Yeah.
So I was able to coach a lot of veterans, service members, and spouses through the process, sharing my own experience and what I learned through that. And it really was really beneficial. And so what I actually realized through the process is that I wasn't necessarily not finding a job more so than I was finding my purpose. And having done that for about a little over a year at Hire Heroes USA, this opportunity with the Department of Labor came aboard. And I had to jump on this one as well.
Did you find it through networking?
Actually not. So this was a purely not networking. So the government hiring process is really not network friendly.
Yeah.
There's some perhaps some misperceptions that it is, but it's really not. It's deliberately designed to be managed through a third party.
Well, it's actually that's better, I think. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you kind of came across organically. Yeah. You just kind of found this opening.
I saw the position on there. I said, that's my job. Oh. I literally, you know,
that's my passion.
I had it on my computer and I showed my wife. I said, look at this job here. That's my job.
Yeah.
And so I applied for it and I had actually applied everything that I learned about how to tailor my resume, how to prepare for interviews. I did get selected for an interview. I applied what I was teaching veterans and spouses to do to prepare for the interview, research and study. I read up on congressional testimony from the leadership of the organization on what was going on and how to prepare. I used LinkedIn and the internet to find out who are the people in this organization and what is it that I need to know and prepare for that, as well as prepare almost like a script for the interview on how I thought it might play out and be prepared with the answers. And so I went in there and executed the interview. I thought it went very well and followed up with thank you notes and ended up, sure enough, a couple weeks later, I got the offer for the job.
Wow.
And so what are you doing now for veterans?
So now what I do is I work more with the employers. So whereas in my last job, I worked specifically with veterans and service members and spouses.
Mm-hmm.
In this role, I work with employers. And I work with them to help them leverage Department of Labor resources, other federal resources, state, local networks, and partnerships to really help them with their hiring programs.
Hiring veterans specifically, though?
Yes, specifically veterans and military spouses as well. So if you take on my previous job was on the supply side, this is on the demand side.
Right, so the employers, and this may be a demand they don't know they have or have no way to implement into their large enterprise, and they can partner with the Department of Labor to help do that and help find those veterans.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And what are some of those resources that if veterans listen to now, that if they wanted to get involved or how would they, or our company wanted to get involved and use your services, how would they do so?
Sure. So the probably easiest way is to start at veterans.gov. That's our website that we launched last year. We have a number of resources. What we really tried to do with this website is to start pare down all of these goose chase links and saying, how can we get resources to whether you're an employer, whether you are a job seeker, put it all on one page and link you to that. So employers can go there, and if you are interested in hiring a veteran, there's a box right there that says hire a veteran. You click on there, and there's ways that you can get one-on-one on assistance. You can go by state, and you know, for the states that I cover, which include Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee, North and South Carolina. That's my region. It will connect you directly to me, and you can send me an email right through there, and I can work with you.
Wow. Veterans.gov.
Veterans.gov.
I like that website.
That is my not-so-shameless plug for our website, it'll help you get to the resources. If you are an individual job seeker, if you are a veteran or military spouse, there's another box on there that says find a job. You click on that, and it will take you to some of the resources that you can find, the local resources. So whether you're here in the Atlanta area, if you are outside of the Atlanta area, if you are over by Fort Lewis, Washington, or if you're in Hawaii, or if you're stationed overseas, it doesn't matter. You can go to this website, and that will take you directly to your state workforce agency, so you can start connecting and start networking from a distance. So if you think about it, if I had known, number one, that these resources existed, well, first of all, this website did not exist back then. But if I had known that I could have connected with the Georgia Department of Labor 3.5 years ago, my story probably would have been very, very different.
It might have been. But we're glad it didn't happen, because now you're influencing more veterans from your position now.
Absolutely.
You're leveraging your past knowledge and experience to know how veterans think, you know, and get into their head and in their world so that they can find the resources.
And make their transition better. Yeah. So somebody's got to be the wind dummy, as they say.
All right.
Yes, and if people can learn from my experience and not have that same experience, I will consider that a success.
That's what we all know, because every veteran transitions out at some point.
Absolutely.
Just as you transition in, you do have to get out at some point. And what is that next path for you as you in business or in life? Mm-hmm. So Matthew Grobe, he is Regional Veterans Employment Coordinator, Office of Strategic Outreach for the U.S. Department of Labor Veterans Employment and Training Service. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stick with us as we also now turn our attention to our other in-studio guests. First, let's say hello to Damon and Clayton. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Doing great.
Did you learn anything from Matthew in that last segment?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I know how I went through TAPS now. I had no idea about the congressional order and all that kind of stuff in 2011, because I got out in 2012, right? So the whole transition assistance program, I guess, would have been relatively new at that point.
Absolutely. So if you went back through it today, you would not have the same experience. It's completely
different. I was going to actually ask you that different question.
Okay.
Yeah. I went through TAPS in 2010 is when I went through.
No, I went through TAPS in 2007.
Yeah, 2007.
But, yeah. That's when I got out of active duty. But what's that?
Salt dog.
Yeah. But he's saying is it's much better.
Yeah.
And
it's
much better for than even reserves and National Guard, because I transitioned out of the National or the reserve deployment. Yeah. In 2010. And within 24, 48 hours, we were already in our living room from like getting back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Just like that.
It was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just, eat an MRE. Anyway.
There you go.
So, Damon, tell us about you. Where are you from?
So I'm originally from Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, Washington State. Go Seahawks.
Good win
yesterday. Falcons
fan here, dude. Yeah, got robbed yesterday.
So he touched his arm and didn't pull it. Come
on. Two guys were grabbing his arm. Sherman and the other guy were grabbing his arm. So
that's how you look at
it. But so Washington State, you grew up out there, and then joined what branch of the service?
United States Marine Corps.
Marine Corps.
Oh yeah.
How about that? And were you right out of high school or when?
Right out. So I actually joined when I was 17. Had to take my mom down and sign the old contract for me. Told her, I gave her the dilemma. I'm either you're going to make me go or let me go, rather, or I'm just going to go when I turn 18. So that's kind of how that happened.
And right, so you did, and then off to the Paris Island, or did you go out to West 29 Palms, I guess, for boot camp?
Oh, no, not 29 Palms. It's in San Diego.
San Diego, that's
right. San Diego.
Yeah. So you're a West Coast Marine.
I would consider myself a real Marine.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, no.
There's East Coast Marines and West Coast Marines. I've always thought,
My crucible was not a flat tarmac on Paris Island.
There you go.
I just want you to know that.
All I'm hearing, Brandon, is West Coast Marine. That's all I hear.
Okay, you're right. Okay. So yeah, Clayton is the other voice you hear there. You're a Marine as well?
I am actually United States Army.
United States Army. So we got four Army guys here today and one Marine. That's okay.
So we might get our objective complete.
Yeah, that's fine. And then, so Damon, you joined the Marine Corps, and how long were you in?
Unfortunately, I was only in for 4 years.
Only 4 years. Hey, that's 4 years more than some people. So
yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
And then you found yourself transitioning out. And what time was that? What year was that?
So that was in 2012. And my transition experience was very, very different than what we heard before. You know, I got injured in Afghanistan in 2010, which is why a large reason of why I got out.
Yeah.
Especially in 2012, Marine Corps was drawn down. You know, I was an infantry Marine. I was not going to do another job. And they were like, well, look, you're broke and can't do your job anymore, so we don't want you.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the end of it for me.
Right. And you didn't know what to do at that point. How'd you land in Atlanta?
Man, that's a long story. Well, I'll try and condense it as much as possible. But so the reason that I ended up out here is because my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she's from here. We met way back when in 2005 here in Atlanta through a mutual friend, which is a story of its own. But when transitioning out, she went to San Diego State. I was in the Marine Corps, Camp Pendleton. Getting out, it's like, well, we're either going to move back to Seattle or Atlanta. So it really just came down to who got a job where first. And
she got the job.
No, I did.
Oh,
yeah. No, I actually got the job. Got the job first. I mean, it was kind of a help. Her father helped me out. I actually started working with him right when I got out. So the transition was kind of easy.
You knew what you wanted to do.
Well, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was just willing to take anything. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
But he was doing some like online sales and marketing. He'd had a pretty illustrious career in it. I didn't really get it. It was way over my head at that point. And it was kind of hard. Like, you know, you talked about purpose earlier, you know, and that was the one thing I did not get from that job was purpose. So I kind of, even though I had a job and I was being successful, if you could say that, I didn't really feel like that, you know? And, the industry that he worked in got regulated pretty hard by the Fed in 2013, I want to say. And, I ended up getting laid off. And 2 weeks after.
Got laid off by your girlfriend or your wife's now father.
Yeah, right. Oh, no.
That's
we still
an
have dinner together.
Christmas.
Though.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I would never forgive him for that.
I'm actually so glad it happened.
Oh, that's that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I wasn't as happy as I could have been, and everybody saw it. So it worked out really well for me. And then I ended up finding power. And that's really where I feel like my transition truly took place.
Yeah.
And where I found my purpose. You know, and that's a conversation in of itself, but I mean, I'm so happy with where I'm at now. And
yeah,
I feel
let's hold you right. Yeah, let's talk about Power Realty here in just a moment. Let's get Clayton tell a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk more about how you're helping veterans now. So, where are you from, Clayton?
So, I'm originally from North Carolina. Grew up in Snellville, Georgia, out in Gwinnett County. Graduated from South Gwinnett High School, and I didn't go straight into the military. Actually went to 2 years college first, just to kind of get started. And then when I finished the 2 year degree, I was really stuck. Matt talked a lot about having like a purpose and a direction, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my grandfather actually served in Vietnam in the Army as well. So I felt like I needed more discipline, more structure. So I joined the United States Army in 2000. After school in 2009.
2009, you joined.
And what was your MOS?
So my MOS was a 31 Bravo, military police.
Okay, all right.
MP, they probably MP, visited MP, you a few times
probably,
there.
Yeah, they did, actually. He does
look familiar.
Yeah.
And where did you find yourself stationed while you're an MP?
So I went through basic and AIT at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And then I enlisted in the Georgia National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here in the state. And 178th MP Company and Monroe, and then 179th down in Savannah, who I deployed with the second time.
Where'd you go?
I went to Afghanistan.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How'd you like it over there?
it was It was an experience for sure.
Right. Yeah, definitely one you'll never forget. And then at some point you found yourself ready to transition out of the service. And what year was that?
I actually transitioned 2014.
Well, he's the most recent guy, yeah. Right? 13 so. Over here. And so 2014, yep. You found yourself ready to go on to your next path in life. Did you go straight into Power Home Remodeling?
So I didn't go straight into Power Home Remodeling. It was... much like Damon and Matt were talking about, my transition was difficult at times. It was, you know, when you back then talking to employers, telling them about what you had done before, they loved the idea of a veteran, but mm-hmm. all the negative connotations that come with that was kind of like held over my head. Like, yeah. Are you broken? Do you have PTSD? Like, yeah. what's going on? And, kind of bounced around job to job for a while until I got plugged into Power and decision that changed my life for sure.
So let's talk about that. How did you first find out about Power Home Remodeling?
So I actually got referred to Power Home Remodeling from a guy I went to high school with mm-hmm. Back in August of 2014. So came in for the interview and loved it.
What are you guys doing over there, Damon? Tell us, what do you guys do for folks?
Well, let's see. We do... exterior remodeling, everything's geared towards energy efficiency. So on the shell of the house, right? So like windows, roofing, siding, doors, we do attic insulation as well. So again, it's like, it's all exterior remodeling, not only just beautifying the house, but energy efficiency is like the main cause. Like that's mm-hmm. what we're going for most.
Mm-hmm. And how did you first come across this organization and knew then you wanted to get involved?
Job listing. Yeah. No, okay. Found it on Glassdoor.
Nice.
Yeah. Got lucky.
You're a fan of Glassdoor, aren't you?
Oh,
Brennan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a great website.
It is. It is. I look at median salaries all the time there.
It's a great way to get some analysis of what's going on out there. So you came across mm-hmm. this job listing, but not knowing that they were veteran friendly or, you know, kind of veteran centric. And what I've come to realize after only knowing a little bit about the organization.
Right. Well, that has been a development that has gone on since Clayton and I have actually been on board.
Is that right?
Yeah, the initiative is rather new. And okay. So we're happy to have played a part in it and continue to develop it as time goes on.
Right. And so was that something you guys came up together or individually? Did you and then found you guys working together on this? Or how did this kind of get born?
So how it got, the idea comes from Michael Hansen, who is the director of Veterans Affairs with Power, right?
Okay.
Really good friend of mine, also a Marine. He and I actually, we did not serve together, but we exchanged the guard.
he just now you. Picking up on that.
So Brandon, thank you.
He has an overt reaction sometimes. Yeah. He can't help it.
Well, I was like, can I ignore it or do I have to address it?
No, you
I
might have to address it.
I got
to
address that one. Okay. We exchanged the guard over in Afghanistan, which is pretty cool. And then as I became a leader in the company, my first leadership conference was in Houston, Texas, and he was working out of our Houston office. And I ran into him and I was like, man, that guy's face looks familiar. Mm-hmm. Got to talking. And then the Marine Corps came up and I'm like, oh my God, dude, I remember you. I was a Lance Corporal. You were a Sergeant. That's crazy. That was many moons ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was his brainchild. And then he kind of developed it. And because he and I had created a friendship through, you know, the previous 2 years, when he kind of pioneered it, you know, he tapped me and was like, look, I can't be in all 12 offices at a time. Will you be the lead for Atlanta? And I was like, absolutely.
So Power Home Remodeling has 12 offices around the country.
Yes.
Where's the headquarters?
Philadelphia.
And out of Philadelphia, an office in Atlanta.
Yep.
And that you're leading the charge there and you're the marketing quality assurance guy. And Clayton's the marketing manager, right?
Yeah. So I'm the marketing mentor in the Atlanta
marketing
office.
Mentor. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So essentially in each of our offices, we have three, departments. It's marketing, sales, and operations. So marketing generates all the leads for our sales team, mm-hmm. whether that be Canvas, retail, or all the many events that we do as well.
And then do you subcontract out this remodeling work? Do you actually have contractors on staff?
Everybody that works for us, they work for us and only us. So,
okay.
Interesting.
So you know that your certifications or, you know, the quality, everything is going on. And are these contractors veterans themselves in some cases? Yes, he's nodding his head. Right. That's a radio yes, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's great. So what do you need more of? What are you trying to get more veterans? Are you trying to go into other markets? What's kind of on the horizon for Power Home Remodeling?
You want me to take that one?
You could start.
Okay. Yeah,
go ahead.
So I would say that we're definitely looking for veterans, specifically for one reason alone, right? we want veterans, we want to utilize their leadership skills. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you can get good candidates anywhere, right? Don't get me wrong. And not every veteran is going to be the right fit. But veterans come with a certain level of leadership ability out of service that your average candidate will not have, right? So when our CEOs kind of, we won an award last year. We were the number one best workplace in the country, rated by Fortune magazine, for millennials, right? And our CEOs are 35, I believe. And so they're of the millennial generation at the top end of it. And they think, well, we built this illustrious career, but that whole time our country was at war, right? So like, who do we have to thank for that? And they kind of looked inward at the company and realized that some of the mid-level and even senior management in the company were veterans already, and they didn't even know.
Is that right?
Yeah, right. So it was like, wow, we're already utilizing this. We need more of that. And if we're going to only promote from within and we're going to grow all the way to the West Coast, we have to have more of this leadership. So, you know, we're not just like trying to hire veterans like, oh yeah, you know, give back, you know, like, yeah, that's great. Absolutely. I
but
love
you
that.
Really see the value exactly. And not just
definitely a resource for your company.
100%.
Yeah. Not just the leadership too. I mean, the list goes on that veterans bring to the table into a job or a workplace.
Yeah, that's right. And if I may add,
yes.
What you really see and what you're really describing is not unique. Even though it works extremely well for your company, most employers are at that point where they're not hiring veterans because they want to do a solid and they want to say, hey, we want to pay you back. Mm-hmm. They're doing this because it makes business sense. They're realizing that veterans are a competitive advantage, and that leadership ability that they bring and the ability to learn and teach some of their new employees or even some of their incumbent workers on how to think differently and solve problems in a different way. They're really starting to see the benefit of that. So like I said, it's really not out of this overblown sense of patriotism and they want to just do that and hire a veteran. They're really, really doing this because it really helps their business. It really affects their bottom line.
Right. And I think that's much better. I'd much rather you want me because I'm a resource, a valuable resource, and then because you take pity on me
or
want to give back to some lofty ideals. You know, leverage me as best you can.
Right. And companies these days are doing a lot of things to help attract millennials. And then when you have millennials and veterans in that same camp, you've got to kind of put a special program together is what we're seeing here today. Yeah. You have to find these people and really see the value in them and add them to your organization.
So you guys, are your jobs as the Veterans Initiative what your sole focus is? Or like, are you also a mentor, but you also have a kind of a day job, let's say? Or how does it all work?
Yeah, so both of us, Damon on the quality assurance side, me on the marketing side.
Yeah,
that is our full time position.
Okay.
And like he was saying in the beginning of this year when we launched the Veteran Initiative, it was kind of a no brainer when the CEO said, "Hey, we need a team in every territory to kind of start this from the ground up and go find veterans and kind of bring them into our walls and help train them, help develop them, and make them successful."
Okay, so you guys hire them onto your staff, but then you have kind of a mentoring program inside that. Is that what I'm getting here?
100%. That's certainly where it's headed.
Okay, great. Right.
Wow. And the real question is, are you listed on veterans.gov?
Ooh.
Ooh, so we just learned about that.
Yes, that's right. Summit. How would a business go about applying or getting vetted to be on that website?
So the key thing is with our website is that we're going to connect you with the state workforce agencies because they're really the muscle behind the entire public workforce system. So there really isn't per se a national structure, and it's by that way on purpose. We realize, and it's really been designed this way for, you know, 70, 80 years, is that, you know, the public workforce system is a local community resource.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have about 2,500 job centers scattered throughout the United States. Here in Georgia, you have about 40 to 44 job centers, actual physical locations where people work out of to help you. So really the key point is if you are connecting with multiple states, you really want to connect with those workforce agencies and really leverage them. So if anybody, whether our listeners or our audience had been to the Q4 summit last week hosted by Georgia Power for Vetlanta, we had our Deputy Assistant Secretary Terry Gerton come down and talk about how the workforce system can be an advantage for you as an employer, because it is there to serve you as an employer as well as the job seekers themselves. They exist primarily to generate the workforce that you need. That could be by pipelining the talent that's already there, or in the case of shortages, partnering with the education providers and the other resources to produce the workforce that you need. So if you take a look in just here in Georgia, you've got about 10,000 veterans registered in the Georgia Department of Labor system, just here in the greater Atlanta area. That's a very, very large pool to think about it, that's ready for you. And here's the best thing. It's already a paid for system. You don't have to pay for that. All you have to do is connect with them and leverage that system. Your corporate taxes are funding that system. So by not using it, it's like a donation that somebody else will gladly exploit. So to the best degree possible, use those resources that are already funded to find or grow and develop the talent that you need for your business.
And this was you guys, speaking of Vetlanta, mm-hmm. you know, Matt's been involved with them for a while now, since the beginning, I think, right?
Shortly after the beginning. So probably about the last couple of years, I've been very involved with
them. Very involved in your role over there is?
So with the Vetlanta organization, I am the director of strategy, which basically means I'm trying to figure out how to grow this to meet the demands of the community. Mm-hmm. We've identified about 7 key areas that we're calling pillars. And that includes, see if I can rattle them off the top of my head from memory, employment. It includes education, social fitness, community service, business opportunities, healthcare, and housing.
Wow.
Yeah. So 7 key areas, and not you cannot really separate one from the other. They are so nested together that, you know, to really get employment, everybody wants employment. But if you think about it, to get employment, you need a trained workforce. Mm-hmm. You may have incumbent workers that need to get upskilled. You need quality health care. You need proper housing. You need to be integrated into the community. So all of these kind of things come together. So my role is to try to figure out how to put that together. And really what we do is we tie together corporate employers, nonprofit organizations, government agencies, and those education providers throughout the range of these 7 pillars. Because everybody's doing something in the veteran space, or they want to do something in the veteran space. So how do we make sense of all this? And really what we're doing is just trying to figure out how to organize everybody's efforts in a coherent fashion.
Hmm. And then from you guys' perspective, neither one of you you're from the Atlanta area, Snellville, but you're from the West Coast there. How'd you hear about Vetlanta? And this was your first summit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually heard about Vetlanta from Higher Heroes USA.
Okay.
So we actually got linked up with Higher Heroes, and from that partnership that we've developed, we've actually met Vetlanta, did the pancake breakfast.
You went out to Brandon, we haven't even been to this.
Yeah, we haven't.
We've had about 7 shows featuring Vetlanta, but haven't been invited to the pancake breakfast yet. John Phillips hogs all the syrup out there.
What's up with that?
Where's our invite?
You got to get there early.
Yeah. It's too early for you.
That's true.
Right. So you guys went out there not only as a personal kind of way to network with other veterans, but I imagine too as a professional way to get in front of veterans here in the Atlanta area.
Yeah, I mean the biggest thing for us is we just want to we want to get our name out there, of course, but we also want to help the veteran community as a whole. If we can help veterans find a job anywhere,
that's
what Damon and I's focus is. Vetlanta is a great organization to be a part of and be able to network with, and being able to attend the last summit was incredible.
Yeah, that's what we do here in the studio on Veterans Connect Radio. We connect veterans in studio as well as on the air, providing them resources and avenues to help them transition or find their next passion in life for sure. And so for you and Damon, your perspective of Vetlanta and Atlanta, how are we doing as a veterans community? And on top of that, what can we do more of?
You know, I love Atlanta. Atlanta's done a lot of good things for me. As far as the veteran community goes, I had no idea how large it was.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's serious.
It's real big. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I remember when I moved here, the VA told me that this is the largest growing city of more veterans are coming here, mm-hmm. even if they're not from here. So it's just incredible how large the community is. So it is a huge pool to reach from. But, you know, since we're just diving into this is our first year, you know, I don't necessarily have so much to compare it against,
right.
But from what I'm seeing, it seems like everything is moving in the right direction. I feel like maybe back in 2010, 11, 12, when I was getting out, it was more of that, oh, hey, we want to hire you because you're a veteran, thanks. And that was kind of like it, you know, like, oh, we want to hire 10,000 veterans this year. But now it's very targeted.
Yeah, very strategic. Mm-hmm.
Right. And like using us as leverage and all the things that we can offer to a business because it is a smart business decision. It's totally different. So like that And that's something that we want to continue to push out to the veteran community too. You know, like that's literally our whole objective, and also changing the narrative on veterans too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. Taking away some of those negative stereotypes for too sure. And if we could help you further your voice or help you get the message out more of at Power Home Remodeling or connect you with other veterans here on Veterans Connect Radio, let us know for sure. We'd be happy to do so.
Definitely. I definitely want to add a couple thoughts on there. I was jotting down some notes because I start to see some of these same trends, you know, with a number of employers. And you had mentioned the some of the stigmas or misperceptions about veterans in the community at large. And that comes down to like post-traumatic stress. You had your experience of, you know, employers not knowing what they were getting when they were dealing with a veteran that had been to Iraq or Afghanistan or had potentially suffered some type of injury. But the reality is, and I will sit down with employers and I can show them data on how probably the most people in the workforce today that are suffering from post-traumatic stress are not veterans. It is the non-veterans, actually, that probably have the greater prevalence of post-traumatic stress from experience that they've had, whether it was surviving a vehicle accident or the loss of a loved one. Mm-hmm. They are dealing with it too. So when you really actually take a look at things in context, the misperception about veterans in the workforce having these issues is really kind of a non-discussion in a way when you really look at the data. Plus, when you take a look at the amount of resources that are available for the veterans community versus the non-veteran community, the veterans actually have a distinct advantage.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. There are tremendous resources.
And awareness and resources for sure, where that may not be available to some of the civilians out there.
Absolutely. Right.
I love data.
Yeah.
I love data. Yeah. You can say, well, actually, look at the numbers. You're wrong.
That's right. And it's really a misperception. And if you really think about it, just even logically, even to say, well, if they're concerned about that, then why does everybody want to hire a veteran?
Yeah.
Okay. So to put that also into further context going forward, we also see that the veterans community is getting smaller and smaller. So speaking of data, Brandon, you like this is the latest Bureau of Labor Statistics report for the month of September, is that you got about almost 21 million veterans in America, compared to over 300 million. That's less than 10% of the population are veterans, ever worn the uniform. So out of that 20.8 or 20.9 million, whatever it is, about well over a third of them are actually 65 and older.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
And are retired out of the workforce. They are probably not coming back into the workforce.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with really about maybe 14 million that are either in the workforce or could be in the workforce. It's a very small population, and it's going to get smaller and smaller.
We'll be on the endangered species list soon.
Do we have any idea of how many veterans are in the metro Atlanta area?
I don't know the number of the population. Georgia at large, you're looking at somewhere between 750,000 and 800,000.
So not even a million in the state actively in the workforce, or does that include some of the older seasoned veterans?
No, that includes the older generations as well. So everything from millennials and post-9/11s all the way up to Korean and World War II veterans here in Georgia.
So that's even less and less as you bring it down to the state and to the city. And so you know when you find a veteran, you're finding a real gem, especially if they are in the workforce, they've got experience, and you should recruit them heavily if you're an organization out there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's really imperative that this collaboration that we really built over the last several years of, the government agencies doing what they do well, provide funding to the environment and programs, to the corporate employers that have cracked the code and developed programs within their own talent acquisition system and support systems within, whether it's a business resource group, partnering with nonprofit organizations and academic institutions. It really has created a network that we really need to sustain, because one thing that we can be concerned about is that the media attention on Iraq and Afghanistan, and especially in an election year, we're not paying attention to what's going on over there. And we do still have people over in Iraq.
Yes, we do.
And the Department of Defense is still manufacturing 200,000 veterans a year, even in a smaller military. That's persistent. These are people that are going to need to be integrated into the workforce. And we're also at a kind of a crossover point where the majority of veterans that we will produce from today on are going to come out of the Guard and Reserve component. So these are people that are already in your community, may already be employed. And we also see that the veterans' unemployment numbers are getting lower and lower and lower. So what that means for employers is it's becoming more competitive to find the veterans that you're really looking for. That's a good problem to have for a veteran.
Absolutely.
But for employers, it becomes extremely competitive. They're getting harder and harder to find because they're already employed.
Huh. And do you guys have, since you guys started your program in February, has it been successful? Do you guys got veterans here in Atlanta that y'all have been working with?
Yeah, we do. I was able to refer one of my buddies that I deployed with in 2010.
Okay, cool.
Moved up here from Tampa.
Yeah.
And then we're opening in Tampa next year, so he's going to be going home, which is
good
for him.
Man, that's great. Yeah, helping former brothers out. That's awesome. Yeah.
Definitely. About that network.
And as for like across all the other territories, I don't have exact numbers there, but down here in Atlanta, 100%. And now that we're connected with Vetlanta too, I would assume that our influx of, you know, candidates is going to go.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah.
Trending up. Everything's trending up.
It's networking, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and as a marketing mentor, have you found veterans receptive to mentoring?
Brandon, that's a great question. We've had several veterans start this year.
Okay.
In the marketing department here in Atlanta, and it's crazy how they're the most successful from the beginning.
Really?
Because of the work ethic, because of the structure. And, you know, the same thing when I talk to veterans, whether they work at Power or they don't work at Power, the biggest thing that helped me is find an organization that has the same culture and camaraderie that you want to be a part of, that you maybe loved being a part of in the military. And that's what our goal is at Power. And that's what we try and incorporate. So it just makes mentoring easier. It makes getting them. I mean, obviously when you get out of the Army or Marine Corps or Air Force, Navy, for me, I didn't know anything about home remodeling.
Yeah, so of course.
To be able to be trained, to be developed, to be able to know how to do it, shown how to do it. And then, you follow up. Veterans are, they do very well.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, and when Clayton's hitting on like culture and camaraderie too, that's our biggest strength, right? And like if there are veterans out there that are listening and, you know, they're looking for jobs and stuff, like that's the biggest way that you're going to fit in, you know? And one thing that I want to make abundantly clear too is that like even though we are Power home remodeling and we remodel people's exterior of their home, like that is not what our business is at its core. Like that's not what our purpose is. We want to professionally and personally develop people into leaders. So whether or not they continue with us, which of course we want them to, or they go and become an entrepreneur and start their own business, right? We want to help groom them to become leaders.
You interesting.
Know, it's like we could change from remodeling to software tomorrow and it would still be the same business. You know?
Wow.
Man, got to love what they're doing over there at Power Home Remodeling. If a veteran is out there wanting to get involved, get a job or learn more, how would they do so? What's the best coordinates?
WorkAtPower.com, or you could even go to PowerHRG.com/PVI. And the PVI stands for Power Vet Initiative. That'll take you directly to the landing page, you know, and you'll see Mike, myself, Jim, all the people that are on the board on there, our little bios and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we certainly do encourage our listeners to get out there and get involved. Reach out to Damon or Clayton if you want to learn more. And come back and share some stories with us on a future episode. If you sign up some new veterans or are out into new marketing territories, we'll be happy to do that.
100%.
And I'm sure we'll see more of you down the line, either at Vetlanta or some of these other events coming up. So thank you for joining us here today. Yeah, there you go, down at Sharpshooters USA. And for Matthew, what's next for you? Got some more, anything lined up, any other events, places you'll be?
For the remainder of the year, I'll be pretty much here in the Atlanta area. So, you know, no matter how the election turns out, we still have a job to do.
Yeah.
And that's to take care of our veterans. So we will work to sustain what we've built through the change of administration. And I will probably be traveling throughout the 8-state region here. I just don't know my schedule exactly yet. So looking forward to continue working with employers, sustain and improve some of the relationships that we've built. Because like I said, we still have veterans that are coming out of the military and need to be integrated into the workforce. And that's about it.
Well, we wish you safe travels as you're going around the Southeast. Yeah. If you come across any veterans out there doing good work in entrepreneurship or business, and you think they would be a good candidate to be on our show, please let us know. We'd be happy to feature them.
Absolutely.
And no matter how this election season turns out, Brandon, I think America's going to be okay.
Yes, it is.
I think life is good. Business is good. And despite what you may hear on the evening news, we are not in a world of doom.
Yeah, that's right. America's going to be okay.
Yes, America's going to be just fine. Make sure you connect with us here on Veterans Connect Radio. Follow us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. We'll have this show published up later, episode 17. I think that's a wrap, right? Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can't. It's almost been a year.
It has been.
Episodes.
Yeah, and we look forward to a few more before the year is out and look forward to highlighting more veterans here on our program. So make sure you follow Brandon on Twitter as well, Vets and Startups.
Vets and Startups. Yep. Thank you. I need to write that down.
And Brandon Skolnick on LinkedIn. If you want to connect with him there, he's always available for questions, mentoring. He'd buy you lunch, too.
I will. But only twice, and then you need to start paying.
Yeah, right. And make sure you connect with me as well, Ryan Redhawk, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's where you can find me. And, all right, if you're a veteran out there doing something interesting or a business doing something good for veterans and would like to be featured on our program, send us an email at veteransconnect@gmail.com. We'd be happy to feature you. So on behalf of Brandon Skolnick and the entire Business Radio X Network, we'll see you next time on Veterans Connect Radio.